Of course, the crowd wants Reed to go for it. Wouldn't be surprised if he did on 4th and 1.
So, anyways, with that, time, George.
Welcome to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. And, Nick, we have another victory edition, but just by the skin of their teeth. Thrilling game on Sunday Night Football. Hope you guys were able to tune in and catch it. I'm happy to be able to bring it to you and some killer pregame and postgame coverage on 41 Extra News. But, look, wasn't pretty, but the Chiefs pulled it out, so it was a beautiful thing in the end, 35-31 against the Raiders in Vegas. Chiefs are 9-1. They have a 3-game lead in the division with 6 to play, so they basically wrapped up a 5th straight AFC West division title at this point. I think that's safe to say. So, Nick, what was your impression of it? Because I didn't have a good feeling most of that game, I'll be honest with you. I didn't think the Chiefs were going to pull it out. But, look, they gave Patrick Mahomes a minute 43, and he did Patrick Mahomes things.
Yeah, I mean, I'm never going to get used to having Patrick Mahomes and and knowing that they're in every game. I'm just never going to get used to that. I'm always – as a Chiefs fan, you always expect that rug to be pulled out from under you. It doesn't matter how many Super Bowls the Chiefs win or how many comeback games Patrick Mahomes has. I'm always going to be jaded in my head and my heart like that. Just paranoia equals prepared, Todd.
We'll talk to you again in a decade when the Chiefs, hopefully have 3 or 4 of those Lombardis at least, on the mantle and see if you're still singing that tune.
Well, you know what's going to happen. For each Lombardi they win, that means I purchase a replica.
That's right.
Let's not get too expensive here, please, okay? The thing that frustrated me for most of the night was when you size it up here, the biggest thing is I just didn't see a lot of passion out there in the football field at times, especially defensively.
I was underwhelmed. The offense, I thought, once again, this the offense scored more than 30. They scored 32 last time. They scored 35 this time. I thought the offense did its job. They were minus a few weapons, so they're having to rely a little bit too much on DeMarcus Robinson. But I agree, man. Like, where is the fire on that defense?
I don't know, but they better figure it out before we have to go purchase some ads on some milk cartons or something right. Like that and ask that. But, offense, like you said, it did what it had to. I mean, they knew they had to run the ball to kind of keep the defense from being out there for long periods of time. They had to also be effective, do the paper cut style offense and just move the ball down the field, have long drives, score it that well, because they didn't have all their receiver complements out there to have the normal track meet that fans expect and want. You don't have Mecole Hardman, Sammy Watkins, and Tyreek Hill all out there together to be able to do that. And here's the other big thing that I see is the Chargers and Raiders both do a really good job against Kansas City now defensively. They've gotten used to playing Mahomes. They know they're okay with taking their paper cuts. When teams play the Chiefs for the first or second time, they want to get in a track meet with them. They feel like they got to score at will, and they feel like they got to do everything. And the Chargers and Raiders have faced them enough to where they don't feel like they have to do that. They feel like they can attack them other ways to really kind of slow them down and be able to match them. And the Raiders, what they've been able to build, I mean, if you took the Raiders receivers and put them on the Chiefs, It would be incredible what Patrick could do with that wide receiving group and that offensive line. I mean, Gruden and Mayock have built up a really good football team offensively, and they're trying to mirror a lot of what the Chiefs do, but be more versatile in a lot of regards. So, I was impressed with where the Raiders are and defensively if they continue to make some additions. Like, I mean, here's the thing. Like, tonight was one of those realizations for Brett Veach in the front office that they're going to have to do a lot next offseason to be able to hold on to that crown even longer if they want to of AFC West. I'm not talking Super Bowl. I'm talking AFC West because the Raiders, they're coming, and they're going to keep making additions, and the Chiefs are going to have to be able to counter that and match that, and a lot of that's going to end up having to be pass rush and then also wide receiver as well.
Well, and the other thing, I mean, you mentioned the Chargers. You look at what Justin Herbert's done out there. I think they're going to continue to ascend. They've already got some really good pieces on defense. And there's a pretty good group of skill position players, out in Denver if Drew Lock ever figures it out from a quarterback perspective. So, You're right. This division's getting better. The Chiefs have had the luxury of having playing in a really awful division for a few years, and that's kind of taken the burden off of them. I don't think that's the case anymore. Certainly not when you look at what the Raiders have done the last few games. And I don't know if we have enough time to finish up this segment with it, but I do want to. Why is it that the Raiders are such a difficult matchup for the Chiefs? Is it just because, you know, we've talked a little bit about the Chiefs this year and their evolution. Think about the Bills game and how there's games where they've been able to overpower teams with the run. We saw the run game be more of a factor this game. And I thought it was really important early on that they were able to establish Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I thought that, you know, made life a little bit easier for Patrick Mahomes at times during the game. You didn't see the big lulls like you did in the second half of the first game against the Raiders, because they had that run game they could rely on a little bit. But is it as simple as the Raiders are effective running the ball? Derek Carr has improved, and he's got some great targets to throw to, you know, when you're talking about Ruggs and Aguilar and Waller and all those guys. And so they can just come at you so many ways, or why is it, you know, that this team just seems to be able to play with the Chiefs?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to deal with the key component is the offensive line. They have one of the better, probably top five offensive lines in the league. So by having that allows Carr to have all the time he needs to make the reads that Gruden's been teaching him for the past couple of years. Carr's finally had consistency with an offensive coordinator, and he's been able to learn a lot under Gruden and Olsen. So because of that, and with the offensive line, those were the key components that really kind of helped him. And then they added in the run game, dynamic runners, who Jalen Richard, I love that dude. Really good running back. Devin Booker's a good running back. And those guys give a lot of speed, where I would love to see those guys on the Chiefs roster. And then wide receiver wise, you have a really good slot receiver who I love coming out of college, and Hunter Renfrow. You have Ruggs, who the Chiefs were potentially rumored to be potentially trying to trade up for if he had been available to a certain spot instead of taking Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And having Ruggs in this Chiefs offense would have been insane. Him and Tyreek together would have been headaches for defenses, and the Chiefs need to go find that long term, because what this has shown this year is not having Sammy Watkins for long periods of time. Let's be honest, Sammy seems like he gets injured 4 to 6 games each year in his NFL career, not just Chiefs wise, but in general. So I mean, you got to find a more reliable target, because whenever you're having to rely on DeMarcus Robinson because the Raiders are taking away Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, that's a problem, and that's why a wide receiver has to get much, much better long term.
I mean, don't you think if it hadn't been for the pandemic, there's a chance they would have moved away from Sammy this year anyway? I mean, they brought him back on a, we'll call it a restructured deal, like brought him back for less money, than he was due. But these were known problems. I mean, Sammy has always had a little bit of a fragile reputation since he got into the NFL. That's part of the reason he didn't stick in Buffalo. That's part of the reason he didn't stick with the Rams. And the Chiefs were able to get him. A lot of people felt like they overpaid for him, given the durability issues he's had, and we've seen it. I will say this though, and I was talking to a buddy about it this week when it looked like he was going to play, and then last second, I think he picked up a calf injury or something like that late in practice, and ended up not being able to go this week after all. He has shown up in the postseason, and if he can do that again, I think that the Chiefs will have gotten what they needed to or needed from him this year. But ultimately, yes, I think that they, whether it's addressing it through the draft, which I think they tried to with Mecole Hardman, it just hasn't worked out so far, or whether they have to use some of that money that they're paying him right now to maybe go find another veteran replacement. They've got to have that other option on the field. It's easy to forget now, but the Chiefs' struggles in the second half of that first game against the Raiders, that's around the time Sammy Watkins strained his hamstring and went to the sideline, and all of a sudden they were able to guard Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. So,
yeah, I mean, I will give the Raiders this. They have shown the Chiefs things they're going to have to do in the offseason roster building-wise, regardless of what happens in the weeks ahead.
Yeah. All right, hey, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about, ultimately, what was a thrilling win for the Chiefs in the desert here on 4th and 1.
Chiefs. 41 Action News. The best seat to all the action. 7th Street Casino. Sunday Sound Off. An interactive sports show like no other. Answer questions. Voice your opinion. Try your hand against our panel of experts. Every Sunday night after the news and football.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. And Nick, you and I were among the voices of reason, I feel like, last year. And like, you can go back and listen to the podcast from September and October, trying to preach to people that, like, hey, be patient with this defense. Be patient with this defense. You know, talking about how it was going to take time to come together and how we liked some of the pieces and the way things were coming, and that they were just off a little bit here and there, but that ultimately that defense was going to come through. And whether we're just geniuses or whether we just got lucky, it proved to be the case. Like, the defense ended up being one of the better defenses in the NFL the second half of the NFL season, and they did their part in the playoffs as well. I got to be honest, with what we're seeing from the pass rush, with the continued issues we see at the linebacker position, with some of the struggles we see in coverage. I mean, you know, whether it's Tyrann Mathieu not quite playing at a team MVP level, whether it's Juan Thornhill seeming to be a little bit slow coming back in his recovery from the ACL last year, you know, whether it's Charvarius Ward and Bashaud Breeland having struggles on the outside. Do you have the same confidence in this defense right now that you did midseason last year?
No, I'm waiting to see when they put it together and turn a corner. And right now I don't see it. I mean, to me, especially against the Raiders, they look slow and they look lethargic in a lot of spots. That pass rush, you got Frank Clark and Chris Jones, and then that's kind of it right now in terms of actually being a factor in pass rush. And teams are trying to take those guys away. So when Tano Passanio and Mike Pinnell and whoever gets one-on-one opportunities, they're not taking advantage of them. And that's what's got to happen. Those guys have to be able to take advantage of those opportunities whenever teams are focusing on Clark and Jones. And that's another spot that long term the Chiefs are going to have to add. They're going to have to add another defensive end to start opposite side. They're going to have to figure out some things in that. They got to figure out some stuff at linebacker. They constantly look slow in both coverage and coming downhill at linebacker spot. The defense lacks, in my opinion, a lot of team speed in their front seven. And I mean, secondary wise, they had a rough night, and I'll be interested to watch on the coaches' film what did and didn't happen. And I mean, I honestly thought they were going to attack Ben Neiman and Sorensen like crazy, but luckily they weren't able to. So it wasn't a banner night. The Raiders seemed to have Stu Spagnuolo's number, and they seemed to be able to attack and anticipate certain things based on down and distances, what the Chiefs were going to react with when they saw certain formations.
Yeah, and that's one of the things. I mean, Steve Spagnuolo, I think that the best thing that he's added to this defense that he got here was the ability to adjust, whether it was in game, whether it was from game to game, been able to kind of find the right solutions, put guys in a position to get the most out of them. The limitations of a guy like a Ben Neiman or like a Daniel Sorensen have been apparent throughout the season. And you don't see them finding ways to get the best out of those guys. You still just see Ben Neiman get run over at the goal line by Josh Jacobs and get sucked up in pass coverage. And I think what's a little bit disappointing, and maybe this is just a product of not having the offseason for the coaching staff to work with them, is you saw Tano Passanio kind of emerge as what you thought was, and at least an NFL average defensive end last year. I think he's regressed. Charvarius Ward, it feels like he's regressed. It doesn't seem like Anthony Hitchens or Damian Wilson have gotten better. Colin Saunders has not taken that leap forward you'd hope to see from a second-year player. Is it as simple as the lack of offseason, the lack of, on-field reps, or is it a hint that, maybe there's a lot of problems with the depth on this roster?
I think it can be both. I mean, I think there can be a little bit of both in each regard. So, there's, like I said, if they want to stay on, we'll have to see how the rest of the season plays out, but if they want to stay on top, they're going to have to add more to that defensive line. They're going to have to add more at linebacker, and they may have to, depending on what Baker can do down the road here and what Snead can do, that'll determine a lot about what they can do secondary-wise and what they want to do secondary-wise in the offseason. So it'll be interesting to see, but no, I mean, they're going to have to, there's a lot on this football team long-term to be able to play at the level fans expect and some of the players expect of themselves.
And to be clear, look, let's not make it seem like, it's all doom and gloom. The Chiefs are 9-1. Their defense, until recently, had done a decent job in terms of scoring defense. They were holding most teams around 20 points. But, you know, when you see what happened, you know, with Carolina and the games with the Raiders here, it makes you worry, especially when you look at a team like a Pittsburgh that, you know, can give you that power run game with James Conner, but then also has a lot of weapons, Juju Schuster-Smith, Chase Claypool, and Deontay Johnson and some of the guys that Ben Roethlisberger has to throw against. I mean, that's, you look at that and it seems like, that's the kind of team that this defense is really struggling with right now.
Yeah, it's. I wish I had better hope for you right now, but I really don't. So, I'll see what the coach's phone has to say and go from there.
All right. Hey, let's take a quick break and then we'll wrap this sucker up here on 4th and 1.
Your home of the Chiefs, 41 Action News. The best seat to all the action. 7th Street Casino. Sunday Sound Off. An interactive sports show like no other. Answer questions. Voice your opinion. Try your hand against our panel of experts every Sunday night after the news and football.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer. Joined by Nick Jacobs here for the C Block, Nick. Nick, I want to ask, because I don't think it came up on social media during the game. Why wasn't Mecole Hardman out there more?
Yeah, people, that was a popular question. Look, what? I mean, I wasn't surprised, because I mean, let's be honest, he was put on the reserve COVID-19 list like last Tuesday or Wednesday. So I mean, he wasn't going to practice all that week, and if he's having a quarantine, then, you know, he's not exactly able to do a whole bunch of stuff out on a football field and do his normal regular routine. And then, I mean, on top of that, you know, he wasn't able to practice this week and deal with that. So, I mean, if he's not on the football field able to execute that stuff, and I mean, depending on how he felt health-wise and that type of stuff, you know, I know some people that have had bouts with it, and if he ended up having a bout with it per se, then, I mean, some people, they feel tired for a while, you know, and then they have a little weakness to them. So, I mean, like, it's just, I mean, sometimes I think people forget that this isn't Madden where it's just plug and play. I mean, they're real people that it takes time. It's like any job, there's job training. And even when you go on a week-long vacation, you feel out of sorts when you come back to work because you're not in a routine and things just seem off there for a little bit. So, I mean, it's just, you know, you got to remember they're real people. It's not just a video game where you just plug somebody in and it's just off to the races.
Yeah, and if I had to guess, you know, like you said, because of the lack of practice reps, and look, man, he was out for a long time. So, you know, if he was in fact somebody who tested positive and had to deal with it, he was probably on a pitch count this week. You know, and look, when they needed to use him late in the game to kind of get at least have the threat of that speed on the field, you know, they brought him in a couple times and he had a catch there late in the game that was a key catch. So could they have used him on special teams? Yeah. But I think you're going to see him, assuming he's, you know, as he gets healthy, assuming he can practice all week, I think you'll see him back to his normal role with the offense with Tampa Bay and moving forward into December. I mean, the fact that he was on the field late suggests to me that, you know, he's fit enough to, you know, at least be on the field, but maybe what didn't get the, the reps he needed to you know, be fully invested in the game plan. So,
yeah, I have nothing more to add on the Mecole Hardman thing.
Well, but I mean, I brought up special teams. I mean, like, what at this point, what do you do? I mean, it doesn't seem like the Chiefs can return a kick or a punt without a penalty right now. And
yeah, I just kneel it every time. I'm done just, with the penalties. Just kneel it, okay?
Just
if they can't hold on to their blocks, if they can't remember the rules of not having double teams, they can't remember those things with as much as they practice it on a regular basis. As many training camps as I've sat through and watched where they dedicate 30 minutes to special teams and they have all these errors year after year, I'm sorry. I'm just done with it, man. I mean – you know, you can down punts. That's great. You can punt the football. Hey, Bucker actually kicked it between the uprights every time tonight, even though you were like, okay, thank God. You know, I mean, just, I mean, the special teams hadn't exactly been banner for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
No, I'm more surprised when they don't have a penalty anymore, and that's a problem.
Right. And it's frustrating. Again, it's like Bucker and his kicks. It hasn't cost him a game yet. You just hope it doesn't cost him a game, in, say, the divisional round or the conference championship, you know. One thing I did want to point out, like, the big plays were a big issue with the defense last week. Were you at least happy to see there were four plays over 20 yards, but none over 29 this week for the Raiders? And obviously there was also Aguilar had a big drop that would have been a 20-plus yarder that's in there. But they did a better job against Ruggs. And we talked about Friday that finding a way to not get, like, you know, ripped open like a jar of peaches by Henry Ruggs would be a key this week. They at least managed to do that.
Yeah, no, they didn't get hurt by Ruggs, so that's a good thing. I'm curious to watch that on Coach's film. Yeah, Aguilar, he's done really well in Oakland, in Las Vegas. So yeah, he's done well there from his time in Philly to there. He's really shined, and he's actually somebody that if the Chiefs were interested and he became available down the road, that's somebody I would kind of mark down as keep on your list.
The next Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just mark it down on your list. He could be a two or a three. Depends. He could replace DeMarcus Robinson's role potentially.
Yeah, he seemed to catch some flack there on the old tweet deck. I do want to ask though, Are you impressed with Derek Carr at this point? I mean, look, they don't rely on him like New Orleans relied on, you know, the Saints or Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or Patrick Mahomes of the Chiefs. I'm not saying he's in that class, but he seems like he has grown into this offense. He seems like John Gruden has been able to get the best out of him, and he's playing at a pretty high level tonight. He seemed like being able to hear it on the field, like a guy who was in command of that offense and playing with a little swagger.
Yeah, he looks really comfortable in offense, and I think a lot of his confidence comes from the offensive line. He knows the offensive line is going to be able to protect him so he can grow through what Gruden and him have worked on together. So, I mean, Gruden's been a really good influence on him, and I mean, like I said, man, a lot of his problems over the years has been when teams try to blitz and rush him, and like he would throw off his back foot or make some dumb throws from time to time, like the Sorensen one at the end of the game. Like, I mean,
yeah, desperation, you know, time. Yeah.
Those were kind of who Derek Carr could be sometimes when he had pressure in his face. But this time around, I mean, like I said, that offensive line, what they're able to do for him gives him so much confidence and creates that swagger he's doing well within the system. And I mean, he's growing into the quarterback he's always been capable of when he gets the circumstances correct about what makes him thrive.
How much are you hoping the Chiefs can duck the Raiders in the playoffs? I mean, you don't want a third game with the Raiders this year, do you?
Without improvements, man, that's going to be, it's going to be a tough football game,
right?
It's not going to be an easy football game. That's going to be down to the wire type football game with the way things are shaping right now, but we'll, let's hope we get to that point first and then we'll go from there.
Yeah. Later this week, we'll get to talk a little bit about Mahomes Brady 4. I know you got to be looking forward to that one, but first, are you looking more forward to that one or to Thanksgiving dinner?
Well, I mean, I'll be at work, so.
So the game. Yeah, well, you'll be. Much. Are you going to be at work both days?
What?
For the game and for Thanksgiving dinner?
Yeah.
Oh. I'm sorry, dude.
I work my normal schedule this week.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry, dude.
That's just the
Do
way
you need a hug? Do you need a hug?
No, thank you. I appreciate the the offer, but like I said, that's a word and an action that is going to haunt me for quite some time on social media. Between that and Wendy's, that's all I get. And people don't seem to understand that Wendy's is not my happy place.
No, I understand. Cool.
No,
Wendy's is the place you
people
go
listen to the podcast and bring it up all the time think it's like my fun land. It's like my
that's where cheese. Nick goes after I've hugged him.
All right, I feel like we're done at this point.
You think so? All right. Well, happy Thanksgiving, folks. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Nick. I'll bring you some pie sometime. Okay.
All right. I think I'm gonna go now.
All right. Take care, kid.